father of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
And it's Lance and Dell with you here on a remote at Kobos 2012 Rusk, Edo. So yesterday, your Houston Astros were successful, and very successful. But it wasn't just yesterday. For the entire, you think about this, at no point did the Mets or the Yankees, in the entire nine games that they played those New York teams, at no point in the series, in a series, we'll call it the extended nine-game series against the city of New York, where the Astros went 7-2, at no point did the Yankees or the Mets have a lead in the game when they were at bat. At no point in nine games. At no point. The Mets got beat all four games, and the Yankees won with a couple of walk-offs, but at no point did they have a lead. That's how dominant the Astros' starting pitching was. It absolutely destroyed both of those squads. And yesterday it was Luis Garcia who I thought was just absolutely terrific. I mean, start to finish, he gave you innings. Well, he gave you a lot of pitches. He gave you a decent amount of innings. But it was really Luis Garcia I thought had his really good stuff. This is nine consecutive games that the starters put in some serious, serious work for you. Yesterday, Luis Garcia went 5 1/3, but he only gave up three hits, a run. He had two walks, six strikeouts, threw 101 pitches. He was careful. I think Luis Garcia was careful around the strike zone. I don't think he wanted to make mistakes, and so he threw a few more pitches. But then the job that Ryan Stanek and Hector Neris and Raul Montero, and of course Ryan Pressly did, that was fantastic. They were great. The bullpen did a great job, especially Press. And I give it up to Ryan Pressly. You know, he's a guy that
you slandered.
I just don't think he's this dominant closer, and I think that some of the Pressly saves I'm not a huge fan of. But, you know, I try to call it like I see it, and when the guy's good, you got to say he's good. And I think over the last three, one inning, no hit, one inning, no hit, one inning, no hit. In those three games, you've had no walks and you've had five strikeouts. So three innings, no hits, no walks, five strikeouts have been his last three against the Yankees, the Mets, and the Yankees, all in safe situations. Now we know, you know, he gave it up against the New York Yankees in that loss 7-6, which was disappointing. It was one of the losses, but Ryan Pressly's slider has been super tight, 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 tight over the last three games, and located his fastball, and he's done a really great job. So good to see Press doing his thing. Now, okay, I don't really love to engage in this conversation because I think after you just got done going 7-2, and let me put out there right now, my apologies, Astros. You've shown me who you are since 2017, and yet here I was in 2022 acting like a scared John Granato, you know, oh, Seattle's going to get us. The Seattle boogeyman that he's always afraid of some
for whatever reason, the
Seattle Mariners boogeyman. Or last year was the Oakland A's boogeyman. This year it's Seattle boogeyman. And I was sitting there cowering like, I don't know, Mets and Yankees. Honestly, John, I'll be happy with a 5-4, maybe even 4-5. Man.
Did you clean your underwear after all that pooping that
you were
doing?
I had to hold tight, especially when I had that stomach virus.
Well.
And you had those games, I'm like, oh,
so
no.
The Mets-Yankee nine-game thing was boo-boo juice for you? You could barely control yourself? You came on the air just,
I
can't believe it.
I could before, and now they're 7-2. I'm like, why was I doubting them? Well, okay, so they scored three runs or less in five of the nine games. That's true. And that was difficult for the Astros to score runs, which has been the case this year. And there are people who will bring up the fact that you can't win consistently. It'll be much harder to win if they keep bringing up DeGrom. And, like, I care about a National League team. Oh, what about when DeGrom and Scherzer get back? What do I care? I'm American League. I don't care about your stupid National League team.
Who says the Mets are making
the World
Series
anyway?
Well, the
Mets aren't making a World Series. I hear. No one cares about DeGrom. DeGrom, he pitches still? Stop. He's always hurt. Here's what your Astros did in this series offensively. And you tell me if it's room for concern or you just let it roll, Dell. Two runs, Get off my screen. There it is. Two runs, nine runs, three runs in 10 innings, three runs, six runs, five runs, eight runs. So they started with eight, then they went to five, then they went to six. That's great. Then the stretch turned into a 3-3-3-9-2-2. So of your last, in your last six games against the Yankees, that's what it was, five of the six were three runs or less. That scare you if you're an Astros fan? Does that make you nervous, or do you just celebrate the wins because it was playoff-caliber baseball?
I think you celebrate the wins.
That's what I think.
I know there throughout the year it's been concern about the hitting, and I get it. And if it becomes a thing where you have to acquire a bat, I'm actually all for that. But as far as this series, what do you think playoff games are going to be?
Exactly.
The nine games against two playoff contenders, the kind of the best teams, at least record-wise, in their leagues, at least before they played the Astros, these are what these games are going to look like. You're going to be nervous. You're going to have to hope Ryan Pressly has more fortitude than you sitting in your room so scared about what's going to happen. Now, I'm not specifically talking about you, but you are included in that. That's what it's going to be. Do we forget what the playoffs are about? And if you were an Astro fan going into this run talking about how this is a statement and we're playing all these playoff teams, well, you got playoff baseball, and your team came out looking great.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, I saw a couple fans on social media who were immediately gnashing teeth about the offense. I'm like, golly, you beat a team that is historic. They came into the game 56-20, the Yankees did. That's the greatest mark after 76 games in baseball since 1930. You beat them again. You beat them three out of five times, and you outplayed them five out of five times. And yet, you know, the worry is about what you don't have and not what you do have. Sometimes worry about what you do have and worry less about what you don't have in the moment. Like, live in the moment. Be happy that the Astros played so well. Stop telling me what they can't do and tell me what they can do. The fact is, the Astros pitching right now, we have seen a shift. A shift has happened where the Astros, you know, if this were a slide chart where you've got 100 total points that you can use, 100 of your hit points for the Astros, in the past it's been hitting because of the bullpen probably, hitting 63 and pitching 37, right? Maybe closer to 61-39, maybe something like that. Now, I would say pitching is probably 56 and hitting is 44 if you had to make it. You know, you had to allot your points to this team. Because the fact is, the starting pitching and the bullpen is just better than it's been in the past. It's deeper than it's been in the past. Don't care about Jake. Don't care about Lance McCullers. If they come back, when they come back. Jake's back, but I don't know where he's going to pitch and how they're going to handle him. It's just better. And the hitting's not as good. Now, you still have two killers in Yordan and Kyle Tucker. But let's also throw Alex Bregman in there. Because to ignore what Alex Bregman has been doing now is to ignore the fact that Alex Bregman is back, folks. Alex Bregman is officially...
Is he actually back, or is he like Texas back?
No, Alex Bregman is back.
I mean,
number
because
one,
if you're going to drop that on him, and he's actually Texas back, we're looking at looking at an 0-for-22 with 8 strikeouts coming up. I hope he's actually back.
Okay, so Alex Bregman, is he officially back? I think he's officially back. Let's take a look at what he's done here in his most recent games. In this series against the Yankees and Mets, this is what he did. 2-for-3, 2-for-3, 2-for-4, 1-for-3, 0-for-3, 1-for-3, 3-for-5, 1-for-4, 1-for-3, including the only two RBIs yesterday with a shot to center field or a center field off the wall. During just this nine-game stretch, he's raised his batting average almost 20 points. His on-base percentage has gone from .349 to .360. His slugging from .394 to .410. His OPS from .743 to .771. .360, that's a decent on-base percentage for him. But I think more importantly is he's being more aggressive at the plate. Like, he's putting better swings on the baseball. And for Alex Bregman during that nine-game stretch to have, and, you know, even before that, you have the three games against the White Sox. He had hits in all three of those games. You now have had 11. He's hit the ball in 11 of his last 12 games, he's had a hit. Alex Bregman is back, I think. I mean, I think Alex Bregman is back to being the – is he officially back to the Alex Bregman that –
Hey,
that
you know what is
– Yeah,
what
I'm trying to
back,
find my
– sound
I'm
on your
laptop.
I'm trying
to find my sound. I'm trying to find my sound.
You don't have a mute button on the keyboard?
You know, I don't know why ESPN just decides to fire off videos.
We're
going to
blame ESPN. They've only been doing it. They've only been doing it for a decade. You don't know that if you go onto a box score, you're going to find the autoplay videos.
It's going to blast. I know. But Alex Bregman is back, as far as I'm concerned. Is he the best version of Alex Bregman? I don't know if he's the best version, but he's a pretty good version right now. So Bregman, Yuli has been hitting better. We know. I mean, you got to get Pena fully healthy again since he's in concussion protocol. He didn't play. Yordan didn't play. Uncle Mike's out. So three guys, three of your starters, a third of your lineup. And by the way, all three of them, good players. They're not in the lineup. You still beat the Yankees. You still beat the Yankees 2-1. That's what you celebrate.
Yeah,
that's the story.
I'm not a numbers guy like you.
Yeah.
I just use a calculator, so I hope I'm right. Over the nine game stretch.
I use algorithms.
Okay. over this nine-game stretch, the offense put up 4.5 runs per game. I know, not great. They did have some, like you mentioned earlier in the run, with the 8 and the 5 and the 6 to start the New York run. So they scored 9 against the Mets a couple days ago. So it wasn't great, and the 2-1 stuff and the 2-0 stuff makes you nervous, but you came away with victories. But the more important thing that's going on as I look across is we're here at Cobos Q. Look at the combination of people who are in front of us right now. You've got
Dustin,
Cowboy fan.
Yeah.
And you've got a guy with an Atlanta Braves World Series champion hat on.
So?
Doesn't it?
Well, that
kind of brings down the mood, doesn't it?
Well, then Astros fans, get your asses in here then. Get your asses in. What Cowboys fan, but Dustin's also an Astros fan.
I mean, the Cowboy thing is just me.
He's
more
a Castro.
We have a Castro. The Cowboy thing is more we pity Dustin is more than anything else. The Brave thing is like, all right, man.
You're truly a Brave fan for your whole life, you deserve what you – I had no quarrels with the Braves. They didn't make me feel upset. We're scrappy. I mean, you lose your heart and soul with Freddie Freeman for no good reason because an agent didn't tell Freddie about one of the deals.
That's rough.
Hey, Freddie, we're going to L.A. Like, oh, I guess so.
Is that the best?
Oh.
What about the Braves?
Yeah, you got their best deal. Don't worry about it. There's no other deals. Just forget about it. We're on to L.A. On L.A. Yes, I feel kind of bad for the Braves, but not that much. All right, let's break it right now. Biscuit wants to talk some when we come back. On the other side, college football has been shaken up by the imminent departures in 2024 of USC and UCLA to the Big Ten. We'll talk about what it means for University of Houston because, yes, this could have a ripple effect on Texas Tech. You a TCU guy? You an SMU? Well, TCU screwed. SMU, TCU, Rice. Don't worry, Rice.
Rice.
Business as usual,
you
Rice.
Just wanted
not caring about sports.
Just wanted to take a shot.
Rice. Rice. Are things going to change for you?
No.
Baylor, Texas Tech. Are you an Iowa State fan for some reason living here? We will talk about you, too, when we come back. 713-780-3776. Biscuit, you're up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Concept Mayhem, who is a big Iowa fan, says, what a day for America's conference. And then he trademarked a TM.
Mm-hmm.
First, he's talking about the Big Ten. First, Iowa gets the nation's number one offensive tackle recruit. Then the conference decides to pull back the velvet rope to let in two scrappy upstarts from amongst the huddled masses yearning to be free. Hashtag Big Ten life.
Well, is that how that's being positioned?
That's how that's being positioned by the Big Ten. Now they're helping a couple of scrappy upstarts in USC and USC and UCLA. We'll see if they can.
So that is
get into the velvet ropes, the VIP section.
So that is now 16 Big Ten teams now.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
24, 25, yeah.
You think they go away from divisions?
Almost and make have it
a,
to.
Yeah. Let me know the ACC did that this week. And
like a World Cup every year where you have a schedule thing, a group of death? It'd actually be pretty cool.
I wouldn't mind it. Like the ACC is now 3-5-5 where you have your three consistent rivals you play every year. Then you alternate all the other.
Wait, they're going to have 16?
No, who?
The Big Ten.
They have 16 teams now,
okay,
correct?
16, yeah, 18. So you'd have to – I would like it would seriously be pretty cool if you had 4-4-4-4 and you had that kind of pod system.
A rotating pod system?
Mm-hmm.
Well, except that
I like
you always
play – I like the
rotating
pod concept.
I get it, but, you know, they're going to want to maintain a couple of the rivalries. So, so Ohio State, Michigan. I'm sure Penn State wants to play Michigan every year if they can. So I wonder how that will play out. Now, who will get the short end when it comes to – their traditional rivalries when you're adding
well, look,
USC,
Alabama
UCLA.
Never plays Georgia. How does that happen where Alabama never plays Georgia?
I don't know. I mean, it's rotating
Georgia
of the
never plays A&M.
Yeah, they have they played once since they've been in the same conference?
Yeah, I think they played one time
I think
since they were
Alabama
in the
played Georgia a couple years ago in the regular season, 2020, the year Alabama won the title. They were that game was in Tuscaloosa, so because you're in different sides and it's not one of those traditional crossovers, you're going to play them occasionally as opposed to consistently. So, yeah, I'm just interested to see how the Big Ten tries to preserve what they believe is sacred to them. And they're one of those conferences who loves their rivalries. They love giving out a big, big wooden pig if they win.
A wooden pig?
Or whatever, a jug, I don't know, an axe. They do all those things. They're one of the last conferences who actually care about trophies for winning rivalry games. So I wonder how they will try to preserve some of that stuff. But the money that comes from adding two L.A. schools probably will mean more to them than, you know, Wisconsin beating Minnesota for an axe or something or a pig, whatever it is.
I can't wait for them to pay for the wooden pig. That's going to be so sweet.
The Floyd of Rosedale, I think it's called, or something like that.
Actually, I don't know that A&M has played, like, I'm not sure A&M has played Georgia. I think the last time might have been 2010. When was it? In the 2010s they played. So, yeah, I think they played them one time. They're set to play again in 2023. Yeah. Man, A&M, it has been the Independence Bowl they played. And then in 2011, I don't know. I gotta learn how to read this thing because this is all screwed up. But I don't know. That's my problem with mega conferences is you don't get the consistency of scheduling is a problem. Let's get Biscuit in here. He's an old school fan. Let's see what he thinks about USC and UCLA. If you missed it, they're going to move from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. You heard right, the Big Ten in 2024. Biscuit, what are your thoughts on that?
Unbelievable, man. That's all. My first thought is, how much money are they going to be making for them to get the cost of travel? So they must really be, man, this has got to be a big packet of money they're making off of this. For all that travel they're going to have to do, man. It's just unbelievable, man.
That tells you, and it's not just football, Biscuit. I mean, it's men's basketball, women's basketball. It's, I would assume, swimming. I would assume it's, I mean, baseball, everything.
Volleyball. I mean, that's what I'm saying. How do you – I mean, the non-money-making sports, they're going to take a hit. I mean, it's just – I can't imagine, like you say, UCLA playing Rutgers on a Tuesday night. And I mean, that's just incredible. And the thing to me is it has to suck to be a West Coast fan of sports. You know what I mean? I was out there with my buddy in L.A., and the games come on so early. I don't even know how to – I mean, you can't even get into the game. It's not even 10 o'clock. You're watching a football game or something. I don't know how they do it, man.
It's wild. It's just, the 11 o'clock games, which a lot of Big Ten starts are 11 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Pacific, right. 9 a.m. It's a noon start, obviously, if they're in the East Coast, but I mean, if they're Eastern time zone, I would imagine those games, Odell, are going to be kicked back to their later game start. So
yeah, I wonder what they're going to do for the West Coast schools to kind of work around that. Maybe if they're traveling east, they don't put those games on at noon. Oh, I know it's funny because they're coming up on the new deal. Biscuit was talking about how much it'll affect those non-revenue sports. I think they're going to sell it as, hey, we're going to make so much money on our TV deal and our basketball deals. You guys are going to be just fine. I know travel is going to be a pain in the ass, and that's going to cost more for the athletic departments. But the money that the TV deal is going to give us, compared to what we would have made in the Pac-12, we will be able to fund you guys just fine. Because if you normally the Fox has the noon game, at least they call it the big noon kickoff, but it's 11 o'clock here. Now with that TV deal coming up, I don't know how often the Big Ten's going to have those games at 11 o'clock our time, 9 o'clock Pacific. So, and I would think they would have USC just play, you know, the 3:30 game or the 2:30 game here, and it'll be kind of just fine for them. I don't think they'll subject their former Pac-12 schools, West Coast schools, to that type of wake-up call. But outside of all the logistics of it, it'll just be weird. I mean, we'll get over it. We get over everything. Everyone adapts to how sports changes. It'll just be weird to see UCLA playing Iowa in a football game in Iowa City in late November. I'm sure all those kids who go to Oceanside and Modern Day and Dorsey and all the places that UCLA picks their players from, I'm sure it's gonna be just fine those first couple of years where what is this falling from the sky and why does this game matter and why do we have to play Wisconsin and Madison in late November? I'm sure they'll adjust just fine.
Yeah, the bottom line is you need to do all these things if you want to continue to be relevant in college football, if you want to have a shot at the college football playoffs, if you want to have a piece of the money that's going to be coming in with the TV deal for the Big Ten. Big Ten TV deal is going to be huge. It already is, but, I mean, the next one up is going to be huge. ESPN's SEC deal is huge. I do think that sometimes the Los Angeles market is overvalued as a college football market sometimes by people because, honestly, if you're not a USC, if you didn't go to USC or UCLA, there's not as many T-shirt fans there as you think.
Yeah, USC's downturn kind of killed off the Pac-12, and then now they're just putting the nail in the coffin by leaving because USC is the only thing that has mattered. Oregon can have their runs, but if USC is not good, no one really cares about that conference outside of the people who grew up watching it. So I just think it's interesting that because they haven't been good, they made the Pac-12 far less valuable, and now they're reaping the benefits of making the Pac-12 less valuable.
So what happens to the Pac-12? What happens to the Big 12? Those are two questions that we will answer on the other side, and I have had more than one person come to me with an almost apologetic suggestion that the Rockets should be taking a look at a player that is going to be a little bit controversial. We will get to that on the other side right here. We're live from Cobos 2012. Russ, come on out and join us right now. We got an official Astros. Now it's an official Astros shirt. He's got the Jose Altuve. Dre's got the Jose Altuve with the Boo Louder. Love that. It says Boo Louder on the back. You could just scream bleep Altuve, and that'll immediately piss him off, and he goes yard. But I wouldn't want that for the kids in the stands, so you can't do that. When we come back, as I mentioned, college football, Houston Astros, and also controversial figure with the Houston Rockets. I'll introduce the topic and get your thoughts as well, Dell. Right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay. It's not actually John Granato, but it is Lance Zierlein along with Dell. Drinks are going to start here in about 12 minutes. We're going to officially start. We have our first beer at the table. I think you guys are water. Y'all are staying low profile. We got our first beer at the table. And now the shots are about to start. So we're going to start the shots here in about 10 minutes here at Cobos Q. You guys want to get in on it?
What time is it again?
Well, right now it's 8:33. But in Eastern time, it's 9:33.
Okay. Yeah. So more normal.
Yeah, it's more normal shots. Drinking
okay.
time.
Okay.
Okay, sure. If you're USC and UCLA, it's 6:33 in the morning.
It's a little difficult.
Yeah, so you might want to spider ball some coffee with vodka in it. So let's do this. let me introduce this topic first, and we'll get John, who's on the phone line. 713-780-3776. You guys jump in with us here, or come on out and hang out. So I'll just read Big Dobbs. I'll read what he says directly. I know you're probably going to poo-poo this, but the Rockets should kick the tires on Ben Simmons. Probably could get a cheaper rate now because of his injury. When healthy, first-team All-NBA defense, can run the offense, third option on offense, doesn't have to be the man. Now, here's the thing. This is a tough one because the basketball stuff, if Ben Simmons had a lobotomy and I didn't have to worry about all the softness and the drama that he's brought upon his team, and really it only started, well, it felt like it only started just 2 years ago, like right after during the playoffs. I saw a guy who was mentally very soft in the playoffs just as a basketball player. That was concern number one. He's not – I think he's really hurt his standing amongst NBA players and basketball people with the way he's handled everything since then. He comes off as a guy who just doesn't fit the culture of the NBA in terms of being a competitor or – I don't know. It's every picture is like nothing is ever about basketball with him. Everything is about his stuff with NFT or his stuff with Discord or whatever. You can go through his social media pages, and then he takes a picture of on the grind where he's scowling at the.
Yeah, I saw
it was
that.
So lame, but like I think he's mentally weak. I think he's not a leader. He's the furthest thing from an alpha you can imagine. However,
so give up a couple first and one of your max spots for him is what you're saying? Is that what you want to do?
He can defend multiple positions. Mm-hmm. He is a good playmaker. He could handle the ball. Instead of KPJ, you'd have a guy like because I think if you brought Ben Simmons, you can't have Kevin Porter Jr. there. And there's a lot of basketball things to like about Ben Simmons. And, yes, he does not. You do not have the leverage if you're the Nets. Not after Ben Simmons last, year and a half.
Let me give you what the reality of that trade would be.
By the way, I did not just say that I would want that.
Understand.
I'm just trying to lay out both sides.
Let me give the reality of that trade is all the talk about this much coveted max space the Rockets are going to have in 2023. I mean, we've done
$80 million, Dell.
Yeah, we've done the whole who's actually going to be available for them. It's not great. So the
free agency though, you did not go through the. Potential trades.
Oh, I said it last time that you would have to hope for a disgruntled star that wants in,
well,
and
who would that
star? Yeah, exactly. Who would that star be, and how many? What you want? You can take them into space, and you're giving up picks, most likely, and whatever player you need to get them. The thought is, do you want to give up one of your max slots for Ben Simmons? Is he a max player for you?
One of your max.
You have multiple. You could probably, if the Rockets were a destination and there were multiple stars who wanted to come here and team up, you could give two max slots. Not that that's going to happen, but I'm just saying what the potential would be.
Well, that's what he's going to want.
So
and
do you
see when you
he,
say
well,
it
he
like
already
that,
has
that's gross.
Well, he's already had the money. He's got the max contract. So are you giving away assets plus a max slot for Ben Simmons? That's what's going to have to happen.
Maybe.
Because he already has the money.
I mean, because look, you're going to be on a non-max deal for Jalen Green for a little bit. You know, you have time there. You have time for Jabari Smith if he develops into the player. Now would be the time to do that. You could actually take Ben Simmons and his contract, and you could slide it into, that window.
Oh, it's possible, certainly. The question
is,
do you have the appetite to be paying Ben Simmons?
So Ben Simmons' contract runs through 2024, 2025. So you got Ben Simmons for 3 years. Now it's a max deal, $35, $37, $40 million. What we have seen is players who don't love basketball tend to find their way out of games when they make that much money because it's FU money. That's just – I'm just being real. And I think Ben Simmons is probably one of those guys, if we're being honest about it. As a basketball player, no denying the talent, no denying the potential. And I think he actually would fit from a non-alpha standpoint, might actually fit with the Houston Rockets, certainly fits from a basketball standpoint. I think when you look at this, Dell, and you see 3 years of a max dollar left – it actually aligns with the fact that you're not giving Jalen that. You're not giving Jabari a rookie max extension. So you actually, it would make sense. What you're saying, though, is you're taking up a roster spot for a max dollar deal when maybe a max dollar deal for someone else is available. I'm not all in on Ben Simmons. I believe in building culture, and to build culture, it starts with the mentality of the team.
By the way, as far as development is concerned, it's not like Ben Simmons is 23 years old, 22. He's 26. He's going to be 26 once the year begins. So how much more development is he going to have for a guy who doesn't appear
Ben's not going to shoot from the perimeter, or he's too scared to shoot from the perimeter. Every year we'd see Hoodie Ben shooting threes in the offseason, and everyone thought, oh my gosh, this is the year he's going to shoot threes, and he never does.
I do think the conversation is valid because the Rockets will probably have to trade for a max player that they would want because the free agent pool is not a great one. The guys who, like, you know, Devin Booker signed, not that he would ever have come here, but he's getting an extension. Jokic is getting his. Chris Middleton hasn't gotten one, but the likelihood of him leaving Milwaukee is very small unless there's some weird falling out. So when you start to look at the list of guys who are going to be available, it's not great. So trading for one and maybe accepting some warts might be the way to go. I'm just not going to begin with Ben Simmons. He would be one of the last on the list.
If I gave you a chance to have Zion – so Zion Williamson just signed a rookie max deal, 5 years, $231 million. That's the guy who's played 80 games for – the Hornets in, what, 3 years?
Yeah, the Pelicans in 3 years.
I mean, the Pelicans in 3 years. So 80 games in 3 years, right? One of those was a year cut a little bit short by pandemic. 80 games. He got $231 million, 5 years, and he has been – he's had weight issues. There's no way around it. However, the latest pictures we've seen – it looks like he's been working. He's clearly lost weight. He looks like he's getting into shape. Can he keep it that way in a city like New Orleans? I don't know. Does he have the mentality to?
I know people.
Is he big boned?
Look, I know people point to New Orleans as this city that'll get Ben Simmons. I mean, not Ben Simmons. Zion would get fat anywhere. What are we talking? Why are you blaming it? There's food everywhere. Why are you blaming it on New Orleans?
Would he get fat on Fresh Mex if you were somewhere in Santa Monica?
He would eat a lot.
If Santa Monica had a basketball team?
He would eat a lot of it. Yes. Yes. What? It's not New Orleans. It's Zion.
He probably gets stuff wrapped at double tortillas.
Stop pointing at the beignets and going, oh, Zion can't lay off.
Cafe Du Monde.
He would lay off.
It's fair. Get her somewhere with a more vegetable-centric, vegetable-forward menu.
If he was playing in Golden State with all that foo-foo stuff, he'd eat a lot of it and be fat, too,
if he wanted to. Like, don't act like I'm not the first person to say po' boys and Boudin was going to bring him down.
I've never understood that. You think Zion can't get food anywhere?
Can you point me to your Cajun restaurant?
We don't have Cajun restaurants in Phoenix, Zion.
You're about
to get a lot of healthy food.
He'd load up on sushi if it came to it, if that's what he wants to do.
It takes longer to get fat eating sushi, Dell.
He's got all the time in the world.
Eat sashimi. Just drop the rice. You're fine, Zion.
I'm just telling you. Stop blaming, blaming New Orleans.
Zion, we'd like for you to eat healthier. Go to this sushi restaurant. Okay. What would you like?
I want the deep fried salmon roll with cream cheese.
Cream cheese?
Oh, that's not the roll for you. Cream cheese roll that's deep fried is the worst, Zion.
All I'm saying,
don't
slander New Orleans.
Stop going to the conveyor belt sushi place.
Stop slandering New Orleans with, oh, there's too much great food. Zion would find, pizza buffet someplace else, too. It doesn't matter.
You're telling the truth.
If he wants to.
5 years, $231 million for Zion, or a three-year deal. Obviously, it's less money, total money, and it's less of a commitment. Which one would you rather do? 3 years Ben, 5 years Zion.
Zion has the ability to be as much as I was talking.
Zion
about
has the ability to be special.
Ben Simmons is what he is. I'm not giving Ben Simmons. I don't care if the deal's shorter.
Ben's
or not.
The easy pick. It was a trick question. All right, that was a trap. You passed.
I would. Okay, thanks for I didn't fall into your trap. Great.
Ooh, sign and trade. They gave him the deal already, but yeah. They gave him the deal. How about this? Listen, Pelicans. No, wait. I'm not trying to get Zion.
What are you trying to do?
I just said he'd eat a bunch of sushi. He'd be here at Kobo's. Do you see these breakfast tacos we just got put in front of us with chorizo and sausage?
You can't put Zion in Houston. Kobo's would get him. Yeah,
Kobo's would get him. Kobo's would get him.
Yeah. What are we talking
about? He's gone from New Orleans to Houston with all the barbecue and Tex-Mex.
Yeah.
That's all anyone ever says. Like, that's all we have in Houston, but whatever. That's fine. And actually, Kobo's has a little combination of two of them.
I would just say,
if we're being honest,
the city doesn't matter. Zion is what matters. And if he decides that's what he wants to be, that's what it'll be. And if he decides he wants to be a fit 255, he'll be that too.
Yeah, it ain't gonna matter. Zion's not gonna be a rocket. Ben Simmons, though, would not shock me if Ben Simmons got involved. I would not shock me at all if there was a phone call from the Nets to the Rockets saying, "Hey guys, wondering if we could have one of our picks back for Ben Simmons." Wouldn't shock me in the least. All right, we're gonna break it right here. If you guys want to jump in on anything we talked about, Yankees and Astros, or the Astros pitching staff, or the hitters, or Bregman. Bregman's back, folks. You've got the Rockets talk that we've had, and, of course, college football, the shakeup that's going on. 713, we officially get to the phone lines up next. John, if you're still holding, we get to you. 713-780-3776. Come out and hang with us. The food's flowing here at Cobos at 2012 Rusk. The station's going to be here until 3 o'clock this afternoon, so make sure you stop in, have some food and drinks at Cobos with us on ESPN 97.5. Time for me to tell you about Aqueduct Plumbing. You can go to thebenchplumbing.com, thebenchplumbing.com. Why would you go there? Well, here's why you'd go there, because they do leaky faucets. They do stuffed up drains. They do new shower situations. If you want to remodel, they do remodels. They do gas lines. If you're moving gas lines around, maybe you're taking your gas line and you're going to incorporate it into your gas grill, your new built-in gas grill you just got out on your Texas custom patio. They can do that for you. They can do really anything from you. Oh, how about the big repiping under the slab of your home? That's a really big deal too. And if you don't do that, you're going to have some serious issues. What, do you even have a leak? I mean, that's the first thing you need to find out. Yeah, they do hydrostatic testing. They can find that out for you too. Everything that you need done from a plumbing standpoint, you need to have a trustworthy plumber. And Billy and Mary and the good people over at Aqueduct Plumbing Company, that's the company that you can trust for that. Go to thebenchplumbing.com. Get all the information you need. Shout them out. Get them out there to work on whatever you need. Thebenchplumbing.com.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Tom.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, one of the conversations we've had is USC and UCLA are leaving the Pac-12, and they're going to align with the Big Ten starting in 2024. John wants to talk some college football and talk about the new alignment. What's up, John?
Morning. Forgive me if I bring up something y'all already talked about, but in my opinion, one of the bad things about the realignment is you'll take a team that's like a powerhouse in their conference and you know, potential national champion like Nebraska or Miami when they were the Big East. And, yeah, I know Dell's probably going to chime in, but you know, whether it's through coaching changes or whatever, they go to these new conferences, and a lot of times they may have an occasional year that they're good, but they end up becoming also-rans. So it kind of, in my opinion, dilutes the brand a little bit, because you have these amazing schools that all of a sudden turn into also-rans. And, I mean, you could, you know, Penn State's had some good years in the Big Ten, but, you know, different, very different when they were in the Big East. And, you know, there's many examples. And, yeah, I'm sure there's the opposite, where some turn into also-rans and then, you know, become, you know, amazing once they get the dollars or whatever else that comes in. But, you know, that's just what I feel is one of the unintended consequences. So, y'all have a good 4th of July, and just, you know, let me know what y'all think.
I was thinking, as he was reading down the list, of teams who have made the major conference moves and have actually maintained what they were before or gotten better. I don't think the list exists. Like you mentioned, Miami, obviously they've not been anywhere near close to what they've been in the AC, what they were in the Big East, and that has more to do with Miami as a
kind of their structure and hiring coaches, they seem to have decided to put money in the program. We'll see what Chris Bone does. Recruiting is kind of picking up in the last couple weeks or so. You know, A&M has been kind of what they were in the Big 12 at the end. They've had the Johnny thing to start, and then they had the 10-win season in 2020, but they're back to being 8-4. Now people around the country are calling them Texas 8-4. So it feels like he might be dead on. Can you think of a team who moved on and all of a sudden became a power in the conference?
Yes, Nebraska.
They didn't become a power in the Big Ten.
Huge power.
Penn State's been
A&M. Okay.
Penn State hasn't. No.
Remember the first year with Johnny?
While you're eating and on the phone, I just went through that stuff. I said that already. Penn State has been okay since leaving independence, being an independent and going to the Big Ten. They've been okay. They've been to a Rose Bowl, but they haven't been. They haven't been great. They haven't been really. They've been kind of close to a national title, but we haven't taken the next step.
Yeah, but I mean, this is kind of uncharted territory. I mean, in a way, yes, the big migration from the Big 8 into the Big 12, and then Big 12 to the Big 10 and the Pac-12 with Colorado, and you know those teams leaving when they were pissed off at Longhorn Network. Yeah, that was you know, those were big deals at the time. They were big deals at the time. This is completely different. We know these are tumbling. Oklahoma and Texas started dominoes tumbling. And this is the question we haven't gotten into yet. What does this mean to the Big 12? Right? I'm going to go to Pac-12 in a second. But what does it mean to the Big 12? Because they may be intertwined. Are the Big 12 and Pac-12, are you going to see teams from the Big 12 start to look out for themselves and call out to the Pac-12 to see if maybe there's a way that they can align with each other?
I don't know what the rules are
as a mega conference
that you've just taken on 14 from to make up for Oklahoma and Texas leaving. I don't know how that if they're looking for stability now, immediately reaching out to the Pac-12 and seeing if you can get Oregon and Washington to join or you want to join. I imagine if you're talking about who would reach out to who, I think it would be the Big 12 seeing if they can grab Oregon and Washington and maybe the Arizona schools or something. I don't know if I don't know if anyone wants to join up with the Pac-12. I think it'll be picking them. I think the Big 12 would pick apart the Pac-12. Hey, Oregon, Washington, Arizona schools, you want to join?
So you come over here. I mean, from a regional standpoint, though, I don't see West Coast teams. Now, I thought that USC and UCLA, that's what you're willing to do. It's crazy to think that you'll be taking trips to Northwestern and Indiana and, you know, Iowa on a regular basis if you're a West Coast team. But that just shows you the power of not just the money involved, but frankly, the survival of being with the biggest conferences. You don't want the FOMO of being on the outside looking in like U of H has had for so long. And now U of H finally gets into the Big 12 once Texas and Oklahoma are leaving. Now you've got a Pac-12 movement that I think could have an impact on the Big 12, because ultimately your question now becomes, do we survive this new set of alignments and merging? You know, are we going to be included? Is the Big 12 included? So if you're every Big 12 team, you have to worry about the fact that are we included in the next alignment of major college football that will be splitting money and that will have a chance to compete for college football playoffs? That's ultimately the questions you're going to have to ask. And if you're the Big Ten, I'd be concerned about that, because now it does look like there's mega conferences with the SEC and Big Ten. However, I'd say this too, Dell. If you add up all the teams, you still need more. Like, you still need more. And I don't know that it makes sense. Like, you can't just take some of the best ACC teams and partner them with some of the best Pac-12 teams. That doesn't make – that kind of coastal stuff just doesn't make any sense.
What do you mean? That's not a conference feasible by itself?
As a separate conference, as a mega conference. If you have three mega conferences and you say, okay, let's take some Pac-12. Because here's what's not going to happen. I don't think everyone from the Pac-12, everyone from the Big Ten, and everyone from the ACC is going to make it.
No.
I don't think all of them are going to make it into the big boy party. They're not all making it.
No, I think people, if they don't already know, they're going to get a rude awakening about where they stand. I mean, because, you know, most, particularly the Pac-12, their schools are kind of coupled together. It helps with the road trips in basketball. That's why USC and UCLA both go up to the Bay Area to play Cal and Stanford. That's always been the Pac-12 model. I mean, Oklahoma State caught it when Oklahoma left.
I mean, hell, it was a different scenario, but A&M left when Texas was still in the Big 12. If Oregon decides they want to play in the Big 12, Oregon State's not coming with them. It's not. I mean, I don't know if we're going to the Arizona schools. I'm not sure which one is more appealing for the Big 12. They may take both. I'm not sure. But I think people, this type of thing is going to kind of tell people where they stand. And a lot of people aren't going to like it. And, you know, now the state legislatures get involved. You can't leave this one. All that stuff starts to happen when, mm-hmm. when you find out that the big state school is leaving what many people, at least outside of the state, consider their little brother. It's going to get ugly, for particularly the Pac-12 teams start to make moves to try to solidify their status.
Well, Phil Knight's not going to sit back. Like, you know, he's the owner of Oregon. I don't know if you know that.
Well,
Phil Knight owns Oregon.
Just like Tillman owns U of H.
That's right. And he ain't going to just sit there and let Oregon not be in the mix. So whatever needs to get done, he's going to be looking out. Washington's going to be looking out. Cal doesn't care. Cal's fine. Stanford's probably fine. Stanford can join Rice and create their own fancy smart kids league.
Except Stanford actually cares about the non-revenue sports.
Rice. Yeah, and they're actually pretty good at
so
it,
much,
too.
Yeah.
What does this move mean to Rice?
It means nothing to Rice.
Okay, that's right. Will Rice continue to have athletic programs?
I mean,
or will they care? Or do you have one if your school won't even spend any money on it?
If they stop playing, would anybody at Rice notice?
I mean, you hate to say that. I mean, I think they got a great coach over there, Mike Bloomgren. It's an impossible task at Rice. Nobody at that university that is on the academic side, none of the decision makers care about football at all.
You know,
they don't care about athletics at all.
Have you seen that?
It's been that way forever.
Old now, but it's a Triple H meme where he's like, ugh, disgusting, and he's waving his hand away. Yeah. That's how they think about their athletic program. Ugh, out of here.
They do, and it's always been like that. A baseball player had to pay for Bobby Tudor, a former baseball player, had to pay for them to get a new floor when they were chock full of stress fractures in their shins and their feet, and they're like, Sean Igo had like 5 stress fractures, and please, sir, can we please have a new floor? And Rice is like, you can all have a new floor. Like, you've got all the money in the world. And then finally, Bobby Tudor had to step in and like, here, I'll just give him a floor.
I don't even play this sport.
I'll just give you all a floor so you stop breaking your feet.
Thank you, sir.
It is
weird. We don't have time for your silly basketball sport.
Yeah, even like academic institutions like in the Ivy League, they care. Like Harvard and Princeton, yeah. They care about their sports.
I've never seen
why
a university
is Rice
care less
one
than Rice.
That doesn't. It's not like
no
it's
idea.
Not like they'd be unique as far as bastions of
I feel
education
like
caring
the,
about sports.
I feel like they legitimately hate the sports programs. I feel like people at Rice legitimately hate, like despise sports.
It's embarrassing
somehow.
To them, right?
I know, like, oh, can you believe that we have a sports ball program here? Like, do you, though? Yeah. Like, you're not even knowing.
Well,
they can't even get money for anything.
It is taking up space on campus.
They still have piss troughs for basketball stadium. Like, can they get urinals? Can you get a freaking urinal once? Golly, y'all treat them this. You been to Rice football stadium?
I've been in
there,
yeah.
Bro, it's the same ratty-ass piece of crap that it's always
been.
When
the Vikings are in the Super Bowl?
That one. That place hosted a Super Bowl.
I know. It's crazy.
Oh, my God, it's so bad. It is. You still have to, like, turn on water from a water hose to drink out of it like when you're a kid at Rice. Like, hitting you in the face. Like
y'all hear
hose.
Rice, right? That's Lance.
What?
Not me.
So, y'all coming after me, Rice?
Maybe.
Y'all coming after
me? You've been taking shots all show.
Yeah, guess what? Here's how much Rice cares.
Yeah.
People who were in the sports program departments, oh, they care. People who are in the academic side, they don't.
The
even
ones
care.
With the money
they
that can
never
help.
Listen to our lowbrow show anyway.
I don't listen
who you,
to
who
it.
You kid? Who
I don't
you
listen
kid?
To it, so I understand.
Yeah, because you're fancy just like them.
When I go to sleep, I'm asleep. Is really what it is.
All right, time to break it. That's my shot at Rice. I give them a shot like every 12 years. That's my shot at them. Now I feel bad for scoring 1,500 points a game there. I'm an idiot. Stop it, but you were right. Torrey Andrews.
Yeah, so
but Torrey played basketball there. Torrey.
How many shins does he have left?
Yeah. How many times did you have shin splints or did your feet have stress fractures? Did you play on the good floor that a baseball player bought for you? Or did you play on the poverty floor? That's a whole poverty stadium they got. All right. 713. Oh, man, 5 stars in town. 713-780-3776. The shots are coming now, so it's time to break it right now because when we get back, at least 10 shots will be. But before I get to my shots, though, let me just say this. QC Kinetics can help me repair and recover. Maybe not from these shots, but they can help him recover from a bad shoulder, a bad back, a bad ankle, bad knee. I've got a couple of those things, and that's why QC Kinetics is important. They can take those chronic issues that you've had, those pains, and what they do is they work with you to take growth properties from your own body. They highly concentrate them, and then they put them back in the joints, and it's regenerative medicine. This is regenerative, all-natural biological therapies, and it's something that professional athletes have used for a long time because it's so successful at repairing damaged tissue and regrowing tissue in many cases. So rejuvenating, restorative, it's amazing what QC Kinetics is able to do for you, and they're right here in Houston. Stop living with chronic pain, no more shots, surgeries, and downtime and drugs. Make sure that you get with my friends at QC Kinetics. Call them at 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!